Precious.
Sapidity.
Podcast.
You only go to a restaurant on the weekends, it gets busy, so they got to start a waiting list. They start calling out names. They say, like, Dufresne, party of two. Table ready for Dufresne, party of two. And if no one answers, they'll say the name again. Dufresne, party of two. But then if no one answers, they'll just go right on to the next name. Bush, party of three. Yeah, but what happened to the Dufresnes? No one seems to care. Who can eat at a time like this? People are missing. You people are selfish. The Dufresnes are in someone's trunk right now with duct tape over their mouth. And they're hungry. That's a triple whammy. We need help. Bush, search party of three. You can eat once you find the Dufresnes.
Mitch Hedberg.
You say that as if we don't know who that is.
Do you know who that is?
Yeah, okay. Of course.
Well, I don't know because you didn't know Jimmy Carr.
That's a good point, but that's the only comedian I probably don't know of.
Mitch Hedberg, I think I know him.
Yeah, he died like in 05.
Oh, yes, OD'd.
One of the best there ever was. What's that?
What?
I didn't hear you.
No one heard what you said.
You said he OD'd, and I was like, oh, shocker.
Yeah. No, seriously, yeah, like, I was having this conversation with another person, and she was like, she read a Facebook status, was like, can we have a minute for Whitney Houston? I was like,
didn't she die like in a bathtub coked out?
Yeah, probably. Why do you want to have a minute for a person, a pop star who was a millionaire who died because of her stupidity and his addiction to substances?
So is that what that's a flawed argument that you're saying?
Was it stupidity?
But even if it was, you can't not respect someone's life work just because they've made one mistake.
Or how about if that's what made her happy?
Yeah.
If that made her happy.
Her body, her choices. She wants to.
Why have a minute of silence for her death? You know, so many people made fun of Michael Jackson, didn't even listen to his music, but when he died, everyone suddenly was like, oh my god, he's the greatest thing since Jesus, you know?
Hang up, pop.
Personally, these really rich people will die because of drug problems and we feel sorry for them. However, by the time I'm feeling sorry for them, like 100 kids all over the world have died because of injustices that we can fix.
Yeah, that's true.
Have you noticed that we only feel sorry for the public things that we do notice? We never are constantly feeling sorry for the constant sorrow going on throughout the world?
Yeah, we go to... who's that? The Diary of Anne Frank, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So we think about Anne Frank and we think of all the sadness in her life and we think of the fact that she, it was, you know, I know there's an Anne Frank joke coming somehow, but no, we think of all this injustice that happened in her life and the things she had to suffer and we pray for her. We think, you know, the bad things that happened. However, we don't think about the 20 other literal Anne Franks with the same name who didn't write a thing and are not remembered forever, you know?
A diary.
And then
I don't know, I think anyone who reads it feels bad just about the Holocaust in general.
Depends. What if they're anti-Semitic?
Well, they could be anti-Semitic.
Holocaust never happened, just throwing it out there.
Then they wouldn't read Diary of a Young Girl, they're doing read Anne Frank's diary a hoax. They wouldn't actually read her diary.
Has anyone read Night by Elias Wesley?
Yes, you had to read it in school. Amazing book.
It's an amazing book.
Synopsis, please.
Synopsis? Oh, no, it's just a autobiography of Elias Wesley.
Jew.
Who was a Jew, and he just briefly talks about how he was a kid, and he went to a concentration camp, and everyone that he knew died, and then he was rescued, you know? And it's the story is just as basic as it can get, but the imagery and the power of his words is just, ineffable, really.
I can't remember the name of it for the life of me, but it's considered like one of the best philosophical books ever. It's from a man.
Atlas Shrugged. Oh, that book. No, it's so funny.
No, but it was written by a man who survived the Holocaust, where all of his family died, all of his friends died, but he was the only one he knew that survived. and it had to do with, and he was, his whole philosophy that he wrote down is the people who survive were the people who had some sort of meaning for living, like they had some work they had to do or they had some reason for it. Mm-hmm. The people who didn't care enough, they were, those are the ones who died. So it was this whole philosophical work, I can't remember the name of it, but
it doesn't seem a little flawed, like the people who survived, they had a meaning, and the people who just died didn't have a meaning.
It's like Star Wars.
Like, we don't know if the people who died had a meaning or not. Yeah, they might have had a meaning, but they just didn't tell
it. The main character survives throughout all strife because they have a point.
But that's quantum immortality, right?
Yeah.
It's, I mean, it's why Bruce Willis never dies in Die Hard.
It's exaggerated in movies, but it's that still exists, though, in reality.
But think about it this way.
Yeah, a reason to live.
The people who died, maybe they had a reason, but they couldn't fulfill that reason because they died. And the people who survived, they also had a reason, but now because they're alive, they can fulfill their reason. And hence, we think that the people who died didn't have a reason, and the people who live have a reason.
I know it's kind of not very deep, but the people who write books about the Holocaust really frustrate me. Mm-hmm. Just because there's like 500 of them. They all say relatively the same thing, and they're all just cashing in on whatever thing that happened. I mean, granted, it's deeper than that, and the fact that this is something that's happened to them or a family member, but I just don't really... I mean, saying the same story over and over again is not going to make it any more profound than the last 500 times.
Two examples.
Mean.
Two examples. One, Anne Frank never published that shit. It was her diary. But anyway, secondly, Elvis Presley, he got the Nobel Peace Prize for that book. And in that Nobel Peace Prize...
Did you say Elvis Presley?
Elias Wesley.
Thought it was Man Search for Weasel. Meaning. That's what it's called.
Man Search for Meaning. What's that?
The Victor book? E. Frankel. The one
of Victor E. Frankel. Was Elie Weasel.
Weasel. Oh, yeah, I'm probably just mispronouncing. Elie there you
Weasel.
Go. Elie Weasel.
Come here, Elie Weasel. We have a shower for you.
Read that.
What? What?
I did a little person.
Aren't we all on the inside?
You should read it out loud.
Man search for meaning
is...
Give it a Nazi German accent.
Man search for meaning is a 1946 book by Viktor Frankl chronicling his experiences in Auschwitz concentration camp inmate during World War II and describing his psychotherapeutic methods involving...
Yeah, I've heard of it.
Identifying a positive purpose in life. According to Frankl, the book intends to answer the question, how does everyday life in a concentration camp reflected in the mind of the average prisoner? Part 1 constitutes Frankl's analysis of his experiences in the concentration camp, while Part 2 introduces his ideas of meaning and his theory called logotherapy. Dunk.
That's good. Alright, so yeah, that's
wunderbar. Das ist so wunderbar.
I do listen to a lot of German metal bands.
Hey, guck mal, schon wieder ein neues Lied von We Butter the Bread with Butter.
Oh, na, schon wieder? Haben die nichts Besseres zu tun?
So yeah, you were talking to a guy who is pursuing a PhD in philosophy.
Yes, last night. He started off by like just talking about random things, and we weren't really talking about anything useful. And then he started asking me about my views on things, and then how things, like what my basis was, and... when I started to tell him, we got to purpose, and he just destroyed my argument, starting from there. Although it was a 2.5 hour long argument about how I phrased the first sentence. So
yeah. Over semantics?
Okay. Yeah,
here's a question. What was he pursuing his PhD in? Because that's a big thing.
I didn't ask. I didn't ask, but...
Because if he was like one of those, you know, guys who was just... doing things about language, then he would probably destroy you on the basis of everything that you
talk
about. Like, think about Ben. He's interested in language, right? So, if a person had a formal argument with you and he said anything, would you not like to analyze every word that he said?
Destroy his thinking.
Because, I mean, that just goes to the very basic question, you know, what do words reflect? I mean, we all know words and we know what they mean, and when we try to, you know, communicate with our words.
What do they mean?
Yeah, what do they mean?
Let's talk about censorship now. Since profane words are just sounds and humans attach meaning to sounds, what makes one sound worse than the other?
Yeah, that is interesting.
Other than human subjective values.
I will rebut that by telling you. Huh? But, no.
Wow. Come on. All right, five?
Okay.
He said five.
I think you were 5-year-old. I apologize.
That's okay.
Go ahead.
So I will rebut that by that statement by talking.
What was Gandhi's first name?
Mahatma.
That is not actually his first name. His first name is Mohan Das. Mahatma just means great spirit.
Yeah.
I'm just raising up all these red herrings for you to go out.
We're talking about that in English.
Censorship.
Yeah.
Back to censorship. And why are certain words censored?
Why are we talking about censorship?
Because it's interesting.
Because he brought it up.
Do you have another topic?
It was
texting
another red herring.
Texter?
Go ahead. What if we put a red herring in a red herring to make a red herring to go deeper?
Like what you're doing right now?
Inception?
Inception, yes. Let's talk about it. No, we're not going to talk about Inception. Yeah, so my rebuttal to your statement that, or your question of censorship, right? Why do we censor certain words? Well, and this is just a very gross generalization and a very brief understanding of the whole phenomenon, but biologically, when we first developed words to communicate with people, we developed certain trigger words so that we could fend for ourselves and, you know, communally grow. For example, if there is a tiger, you're hunting for, like, a deer or something, and there are two guys, right, these cavemen, and they're really quiet, and they're trying to hunt for deer, and there's a tiger approaching, right? But the first guy doesn't hear it. So the other guy has to communicate something, and if the other guy's like, hey, excuse me, there's a tiger, he'd be like, what? But if he says, motherfucker, run, tiger, he's going to just see and run.
He'd be like, no, I do not sleep with my mother.
See, so there has to be a trigger word to evoke certain emotions in us. And it has actually been scientifically proven that swear words trigger a different part of our brain as compared to the prefrontal cortex where most words are processed. So there is a historical connotation to the whole swear words. Now, how are new swear words made? That's the question. And the other question is, why do they still remain, you know?
I think it's the idea behind them that people are trying to censor. If a word is used in an offensive context, it's likely to evolve to where it evokes the same emotions as if I would say fuck.
So it's not the word, it's the connotation behind the word.
Yeah, that we're trying to censor.
Yeah.
So as we evolve past.
Because a person isn't innately born with the idea that.
But that's not always the case. Because you have the word, like the N word, where just saying the word, no matter the context, evokes anger in people.
No, but think about it this way.
Reproduction and sex. How about that?
Fornication does not evoke the same emotion as the word fuck.
They display the same idea.
They do display the same idea. So, it is something about certain. The thing I'm saying is there has to be some certain emotion evoked by certain words. Now, the words themselves can change, the meaning behind them can change, but there are certain words that alert our senses more profoundly than normal words. Like, think about, okay, if we had an experiment and a kid was raised with the general use of the word fuck normally, you know, then he wouldn't really consider that a swear word, right? But what if we replace the word fuck for, say, horse, and whenever you said horse, you know, would it have the same connotations as the word fuck has for most people?
Just go with it.
It's all training as a child.
Yeah, it's
programming.
But why do words cause a rise of emotion?
Certain words. Well, this is one of the scientific postulations is that it is because, you know, genetically, historically, since the early days, we needed certain words to trigger our senses quicker than other words. So, yeah.
Because it seems to me like these swear words that you've been listening so far and the word gun are very different.
Yeah.
Because if a swear word was used I probably wouldn't get all that worked up. Yeah. But if someone yells gun instead of yelling fuck, I'd be very worked up.
Yeah.
But gun is used in everyday life and spoken all the time.
It's a negative social connotation.
With context then, how it's used.
Yeah, it's...
But then...
It's training, it's social.
In another, but then it's not the word itself. Another view. I only really have one good example for this, and it's not appropriate, but the word fuck
may come from
if used during a sexual interaction, would definitely not have a negative
I want that to sound nice, isolated to be used.
Just use it separately every time.
Sorry, go ahead.
But yeah, I see your point.
It's not negative.
So there isn't something inherent about a word that triggers something, I guess. That would be
I think
conclusion.
Yes.
Well, okay, we're going to continue to get explicit with this. If this word has such a negative social connotation that one would say it when experiencing great emotion, if one were to say this during a sexual encounter, it is an indicator that they're experiencing something higher than average, which would make it a good thing to the person hearing it.
Would it?
Well... Depending on why he or she is saying it.
If it has a constant constant social negative connotation, then if it was shouted out during, once again, sorry for lack of a better example, sexual intercourse, that would lead you to some very horrible very horrible realizations.
Not necessarily.
No, but the thing is...
It kind of breaks. What do you yell? Fuck!
Perhaps one of the most interesting words in the English language today is the word fuck. Out of all of the English words that begin with the letter F, fuck is the only word that is referred to as the F word. It's the one magical word, just by its sound, can describe pain, pleasure, hate, and love. Fuck, as most words in the English language, is derived from German, the word fricken, which means to strike. In English, fuck falls into many grammatical categories. As a transitive verb, for instance, John fucked Shirley. As an intransitive verb, Shirley fucks. Its meaning's not always sexual. It can be used as an adjective, such as John's doing all the fucking work. As part of an adverb, Shirley talks too fucking much. As an adverb enhancing an adjective, Shirley is fucking beautiful. As a noun, I don't give a fuck. As part of a word, abso-fucking-lutely, or in-fucking-credible. And, as almost every word in a sentence, fuck the fucking fuckers. As you must realize, there aren't too many words with the versatility of fuck. As in these examples describing situations such as fraud, I got fucked at the used car lot. Dismay, aw, fuck it. Trouble, I guess I'm really fucked now. Aggression, don't fuck with me, buddy. Difficulty, I don't understand this fucking question. Inquiry, who the fuck was that? Dissatisfaction, I don't like what the fuck is going on here. Incompetence, he's a fuck off. Dismissal, why don't you go outside and play hide and go fuck yourself? I'm sure you can think of many more examples. With all of these multi-purpose applications, how can anyone be offended when you use the word? We say, use this unique, flexible word more often in your daily speech. It will identify the quality of your character immediately. Say it loudly and proudly. Fuck you!
Yes.
I thought it was an acronym, though, for fornicating under the court of the king.
No, that's a misnomer.
Misnomer?
There's
okay. Where did that originate from?
Some history class.
I don't can't
type. It appears as though it started out as Latin.
Mm-hmm.
As the actual word fuck. Yeah. Used in a church cipher.
Mm-hmm.
Where they said they were making this statement, they are not in heaven because they fuck wives of Eli. mm-hmm. or
him,
Ellie, I guess, Ellie, I think it's Ellie, and, but it was used in a cipher, and it was used as sort of like not a, not the same meaning, and then, older, it's Germanic, and Norwegian, and Dutch, and Swedish, it means penis.
They make the best words. The Dutch one means
it's German for fuck. It's Dutch for breed, Norwegian for copulate, Swedish for copulate, and penis in Swedish as well.
That's, almost, that's what every word means in Swedish.
It's also Indo-European for strike and fist.
Light.
Alright, like this is going to sound really stupid for a second. And everyone has a horrible misconception about it, but have you ever heard of manga or anime?
Oh, yeah.
Like, are you being sarcastic? Yes. It sounded really sensual for a second.
Yeah,
we've all heard of it, yeah.
No, last year I got really into anime for a bit.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, well,
my friends are really into it.
I'm a huge fan of anime and manga, there are some of them that are, like, really, really, thought-provoking.
Most animes are supposed to be very philosophical because they... discuss the very, very general themes that everyone faces. Has everyone seen Death?
Death Note.
That's my favorite.
It's, it's
awesome. Universally accepted as the best anime, I think.
Yeah.
I have yet to watch it.
Okay,
you need to watch it.
But yeah, that one's really, really thought provoking because it's like Light thinks, for those who haven't seen it, that Yagami Light thinks that. When he gets a book that he can write someone's name in and kill somebody, that he should be Kami, which is Japanese for God, and do the right thing, well, quotations around right, and kill all the bad guys, and all the villains, all the people committing crimes. But at the same time, the police are trying to catch him because they think he's a murderer. And so then he starts killing policemen who are believing that they're doing right because he believes that he is doing right and they are wrong by stopping.
It's a very... It debates the fine line between right and wrong. At what point is it like the whole concept of the greater good? And
Spinoza wrote about ethics. You straight it.
Mm-hmm. Are you like big on Spinoza or something?
Baruch!
Or is that
I'm just Dutch. So.
And a determinist.
Kierkegaard, what was his nationality?
Danish.
Yeah,
the worst. Danish people.
You know what? Danish. I will slap your shoulder blade.
Say that one more time. Are you serious? That's like the bottom of the barrel of Europeans. The Danes. Come on.
They're the happiest
country
in the world.
Wait, aren't they the Europeans with
small penises?
No, they're not.
They are.
I swear I've read
that.
They are.
I've read that.
They're starving.
Hey, Ben, did you
know
that?
No, they're not.
The Danes are the Europeans with the smallest penises. I've read that. I know that is a scientific fact.
That's it. Conversation over.
Not entirely Danish.
Oh. Not that part of you. I see.
Yeah.
They can't even find the Duchess to mention
French
it.
From the waist down?
Ooh. After the years we've spent doing these podcasts, it's come to this.
Years?
All these episodes?
All these episodes have been ruined because of this episode.
This was actually an experiment
all of
to
our
understand.
Avid following of thousands of listeners that...
Millions.
Are just gone now.
The Republic of Nauru.
Nauru.
For some reason, we have a strong following in Nauru. We don't really know why.
What?
Whatever. Really? Republic of Nauru is awesome. They don't even make laws about things because nothing bad happens there.
Because no people are there.
I like to
because no one reports.
They also
like
have the world's highest obesity rate.
There's a direct correlation.
Switzerland is the greatest country in the world.
Mm. On what basis?
It's not the happiest. I would argue the Netherlands might beat them.
Okay.
In personal freedom.
Well, I thought Switzerland was
and personal freedoms actually. I thought Finland.
I think
that's pretty close.
Finland.
Scandinavia.
I thought it was New Zealand.
Yeah.
Which includes Denmark.
Like the New York Times.
Might I remind
some sort of
you?
Thing. I don't know.
Scandinavians are ashamed to say that, though, that Denmark is a part of Scandinavia. They're
why
like,
do you not like Denmark?
Who does like Denmark? No
me?
One likes Denmark.
Every
why do we
foreigner
have, like,
I speak to,
you know who
JCBD
is?
Why do
John
we have like,
Bob
personal
yeah.
He's very
anti-gay.
Like, he's the
yeah, that's why
I, mean,
I don't.
And by the way, the Finnish people
drink
three times more coffee than the average American.
Wait, what?
They consume the most coffee. Out
Finnish
of any,
people?
Out of anybody in the entire world, they consume the most coffee. Three
Americans
times more
are
than
the only ones
who
reason behind that.
No clue. They have to import 100%. of the coffee.
Jesus.
And they consume more than anybody in the world.
Not exactly fertile cocoa grounds.
Yeah, well, most European countries have to import coffee. That's...
Well, we have to import coffee.
Yeah, of course.
South America.
Everyone does. And coffee's running out, so...
But wait, coffee's running out?
You can just grow cocoa, though. I don't... It's not...
There's, like, there's something about it.
Find it interesting.
It's the environment. It's the plants going down.
Well, I'm pretty sure we'll find out. The rainforest is being destroyed, so it probably has something to do with that.
That's really upsetting.
We'll find an alternative. And we're... I think we're cutting it faster than we're growing it or something like that.
That would make sense,
that's...
Yeah.
Rough Nader. Why not make fun of Bulgaria? Because they have...
Because that's just sad. That's like make fun of a retarded child. They're impoverished Eastern Bloc.
You saw the Bulgarian failed assassination attempt?
That was not an assassination attempt.
Only in Bulgaria.
That was not an assassination attempt.
I guess
attempt.
If it's an assassination attempt, it's already failed.
That's,
so you don't have to say failed assassination.
That was not an assassination attempt. I refuse to believe that was a legitimate attempt.
Because it just walked up on stage? It's because Bulgarian security... Chick, chick!
Bam! And then they never bothered to handcuff him. They just sat there and kicked him for like a good solid 5 minutes, but they never bothered to handcuff the guy who almost tried to
assassinate
him. They
were kicking
somebody.
Him in the groin for like 5 to 10 minutes.
Did you figure that was punishment enough?
No! He couldn't move his arms back to be handcuffed. Did you see it?
You ever seen videos of like Russian police? They're so brutal. Like
they have police.
They don't really have rights in Russia, so
they'll
bring it to a house. I just throw them on the ground. I give them the face and handcuff them.
And it's not even police. It's just guys with suits.
They don't really have rights in Russia.
See, making fun of Russia. It's neither making fun of something that's awesome or making fun of something that's mentally retarded. You make fun of Russia. It's in between.
What the fuck?
What is philosophy? What? How do you define philosophy? Not according to Wikipedia, because not according to the dictionary.
Oh, God. No Urban Dictionary.
No, because the thing with the dictionary is, the dictionary is the general consensus of a word by the people who use the word around it, you know? That's why if you actually ask the philosophers to define words, they look at the etymology of the word since it was created.
That's a fallacy.
What?
To judge meaning based on etymology. I found that out.
Really?
Yeah.
That's why they make up words? That's why an
analytic postulation... No, you can't judge meaning based on the etymology of a word, because you could look at mouse.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't mean a computer mouse, etymologically.
So, but you could mean...
You have to take in both the etymology and the modern interpretation of it. Which, again, humans attach meaning to words, so...
So, but that still begs the question, what is philosophy?
Okay, what's the meaning behind the word, the number three?
Wait, etymologically? Oh, three?
What is
the idea of three?
Well, three is just the
more than two,
alphabetical
than
representation of the number three.
It's the integer that's more than two and less than four.
What is the number three?
Well, that's...
You can't prove numbers.
Then you can have 2.1. Well, you can... Why can't you prove numbers?
You can't experimentally prove numbers.
But they work.
If numbers are adjectives.
Numbers are adjectives?
In my opinion.
How so?
They describe physical properties. For instance, 1, 2, 3. There are three things here, three objects.
Yeah, but it can't actually stand alone as a noun.
So you're saying numbers are abstract ideas which are not tangible.
Exactly.
Yes.
But numbers itself implement them in every little thing we do, you know? The degree of that TV right there, that's because of math. That is explained because of math. The things that we built, this phone is because of math. This is because of math. Science, in a sense...
It's not denouncing the usefulness of math,
it's
just saying
it's just
that...
It doesn't hold as a tangible object
defined.
Itself.
Yeah, like, for instance, if I were to say that... you said we have things because of something else.
We don't have those things because of
that. Like, you said we have this because of math. We have this because of math.
Technically, that's false, because we have those things, but... Math helps describe those things.
Okay, I can live with that. But
we build objects. Think about it this way: if we did not understand math, we would not be able to build this.
Yeah.
I mean, this modern apparatus right here.
I think that's also false.
How would you build this if you did not understand math?
There's this thing I read one time, and it said that everything can be made by nature, given enough time, because of infinite circumstances happening all over the galaxy, or the, I'm sorry, the universe, happening infinite number of times in infinite span of time, then eventually that'll happen. So, for instance, that phone can be made by nature.
Well, but see, that is based on probability. Now, the thing about probability is, if you're talking about the probability of the existence of everything, you have to go to a more metaphysical level and understand that everything is based on probability and nothing is guaranteed. So our actions are actually based on faith to an extent.
Another question. Are we part of nature? That's the thing that me and this guy argued a lot, is that are humans part of nature? He argued that humans are higher than nature, and I argued that humans are one with nature.
Have you heard of the concept of singularity? It's basically, and this is just my general idea of it. Not Urban Dictionary.
I know what singularity is.
Yeah. So basically, the span of time between two inventions used to be really great, but now because of this exponential growth of knowledge and other factors, the span of time between things, between great technologies is reducing, and to an extent, that time will become zero. So what happens when great technologies, one after the other, become zero? Well, that's where these futurists, people who say they know what's going to happen in the future, in a scientific way, not in a mystic way, but they say that, it's really shaky, but they say that somehow we will be one with everything there is. That's the idea. And it's really weird because there's a computer.
You also have this quote from Matrix, which kind of is the other idea, which I think is pretty interesting.
Every mammal on this planet instinctively develops a natural equilibrium with the surrounding environment, but you humans do not. You move to an area and you multiply and multiply until every natural resource is consumed. And the only way you can survive is to spread to another area. There is another organism on this planet that follows the same pattern. Do you know what it is? A virus. Human beings are a disease, a cancer of this planet. You are a plague.
Adolf Hitler,
1930. Just because we don't
Agent Smith.
Properly take care of the environment and nature we live in doesn't mean we aren't a part of it. We aren't formed by it.
I would like to ask Agent Smith the question.
Our virus is a part of nature.
Yes.
Mr. Anderson.
That's not my name. That's not my name.
Yes,
that's not my name. That's a
good question. I was going to ask the guy this last night that I never got a chance to ask him mainly because we were arguing for 2 hours. But,
great minds shouldn't meet. They don't think alike at all.
Ben was rubbing my foot. In his foot. I'm sorry. That's a distraction of my foot. All right. So yeah, you were arguing about something.
Nature. Yeah, that's right.
The question:
if we're not one with nature, at what point do we cease to become one with nature?
Yeah. What is the distinction between humans and nature that we need to compare the two?
So he said that we have consciousness.
We have consciousness,
which is different. But at what point do we gain consciousness?
Our consciousness was formed by nature.
Because would you say that a cat has consciousness?
How does that person define consciousness?
He defined consciousness, I think, as an abstract idea. So it was something that he has separate from the physical world. It's Cartesian dualism.
Okay, well, let me ask.
So basically, a soul. Oh, this comes to like the basic
question. Okay, no, we're not even
question,
going
you
into
know,
a soul.
What has a soul? Does a cat have a soul, or do humans have soul?
All dogs are going to heaven. Come on.
I guess consciousness would be the one's ability to philosophize in any way. Like, a cat cannot do that. A cat can only think about...
How do you not know that?
That's true. We don't have
the
ability.
Think about it this way. We know animals have dreams, right?
Yeah.
That's very much true, yeah.
And we know animals think on their own, independent of just, food,
doorbell
food,
ring,
food, 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 doorbell, you know?
Yeah.
So they do think. Now, how do we know that they don't philosophize? Yeah, dogs have souls, do they?
That was the weirdest phrase question. Dogs have souls, do they? Like,
it's like the literal interpretation of a fortune cookie.
Okay, no, but if souls
have you ever
got just
one of those messed up fortune cookies, that, like, the sentence just... It's the worst possible combination.
No, I just
life will have you.
Any label of Chinese food is like that. It was like this chopsticks package. It was like, use these to enjoy food good. It's like, no thanks. Yeah, don't feel bad. People who can't speak English.
I know, right? I can't speak English, unfortunately. I'm slow.
English, motherfucker! Do you speak it?
I speak English now, but I used to speak Hindi more often than English earlier.
Why?
Because I used to live in India and I didn't really speak.
It's great hearing him talk to his parents on the phone.
I was actually there until I was 15, and then I came here like fall of 2010.
Did you know how? Did you learn English in India?
Yes, but that was like a second language. People were just like, English.
Other countries aren't as pretentious as America, actually make kids learn other languages.
You can't make me learn
so
Spanish.
So, question: do you think in Hindi?
That is the question.
I was talking to the philosopher last night. And he speaks. He's a native Italian,
mm-hmm.
but he took English as a secondary language.
Mm-hmm.
Takes a second.
Yeah,
language,
English
except
is
the... America. But wow. Anyway, he came
Latin.
Here.
Okay, go ahead.
It's not required.
Yeah.
And it's not, we don't learn it from like elementary school.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But he thinks in Italian, but he thinks some words in English and some words in German, which is another language he's learning. And I think like two words in Latin, so I sort of know what he's saying, sort of, except I'm horrible at Latin. Ben, yeah, stay quiet.
I think that really goes into the question, and that really is an interesting development into the question, you know, what are our ideas? Are they confined by language, or are they, you know, those great, perfect ideas which we can't reflect properly because, you know, we are imperfect, and language is imperfect?
I think that, well, from my own personal experience, my thoughts come as a feeling, sort
mm-hmm.
of, like a push, and then words construct a way to express that, and they limit it down to the vocabulary that I have.
Yeah. How are we having this conversation, you know? How are these words being formed?
So this idea, is there a universal consciousness which ideas kind of flow from, that your mind kind of picks up, or are they coming from within you? Like, where do ideas come from?
Where do ideas come from? Well, when we're born, we generally think that when we're born, we don't know anything, right? And whatever we learn from the environment around us, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, there aren't things, so that affirms the fact that there are things that we learn from the outside.
Why do we start out as a blank slate?
Why?
I just asked this playing devil's advocate again because one, I agree with you, but two,
yeah, of course.
what about people who are who believe in a conscience?
For instance,
if we are if we learn everything, then at what point did you learn how to be friends with somebody? What point did you learn how to love somebody?
But
or
see,
feel
that,
pity.
See, the thing is, those emotions are. That can be explained by looking at different cultures, you know. You don't have to necessarily read the definition of a friend to make a friend. You experience the world around you and you see how amicably people talk to each other and how that helps them and how that evokes feelings of joy. And that's how some people learn things which aren't necessarily textually learned. However, what happens if some of these qualities, which we don't learn in books... are taken away from us from certain... Now, we can see that in certain cultures, you know? In certain cultures, say, if it's not socially acceptable to hug. And in a culture, it's socially acceptable to hug. The person... Well, can we say... Well, it's really hard to do it in this age because everyone kind of is connected to other cultures. But can we say that that person would not really know how to hug? Because not that he learned it, you know, in a written form, not that the person who hugs other people in his culture read that in written form, but one person knows how to hug and one doesn't. Why? Because that's how the culture worked.
I want to know what goes through your mind.
No,
what the heck are you thinking? You're just like a constant stream of laughter. Go ahead.
I don't know what you're talking about.
The point of this is to share your thoughts.
You have the attention
my thoughts come, and then they go.
I don't retain much.
Are there voices in your head?
I feel like Ben's schizophrenic.
I'm just... You said hugs.
There's a trigger word for you.
Well, I don't know. What?
It's Japanese. Japanese.
Thought of the Japanese
and white. Arab. When I thought about Arabs, I thought of the video I saw.
Why are we thinking about Arabs?
The Arab breakdancing.
You were really out.
I'm like all about segues. I think of something, at least something else.
There is no substance. Everything flows.
Happened.
Song by people, man. If I stayed in India, I'd be that person right there.
You'd be famous on the internet.
They can't hug.
This sounds like a racist question, but can you understand what they're saying?
Yeah.
Wait, what
most of
saying?
It, because this is actually Punjabi, which is a dialect of Hindi, which is speaking in Punjabi.
Okay, what are they saying?
This is literally gibberish.
Yeah, I figured. But before that, what were they saying?
Something about how we should spread the feeling of joy with our friends, which is colorful.
Hugging. Positive message they present.
Yeah,
hugging.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, that's good.
I'll take your word.
Think about it this way.
I believe you.
Third world cultures never have depressing songs. They always have happy songs. Because they're always so sad that they want happiness, not the other way around, you know?
It is true, though, like,
yeah.
The only people who listen to, like, well, for the most part, there's always exceptions.
We have this song playing in your entire time. It's
true.
Oh, darn.
America, fuck yeah! Come out again to save the motherfucking day, yeah! America, fuck yeah!
I don't like America. I would be
the founder of America. The founders of America right now would be expelled from America. Because
the founders of
liberal.
America were terrorists.
They were terrorists.
They rebelled and wrote and brought fear to
such
like
a double standard. People do that in other countries.
Are you pro Britain?
I'm pro. What's it called? Mercantilism. Yeah.
Because that's been so successful in the past.
That's the system of
that's
trade.
That's because we haven't been
before.
Able to keep a steady empire, and still would work. Yeah, yeah. The only problem is that the people who go into these colonies are not. Mercantilism is the idea of importing more than you export. So you have a colony, and the colony exists for this sole purpose of helping to support the mother country.
So if you were to go about telling
a colony that yes, you may go and colonize this area for the sole purpose of supporting the mother economy, you'd have a very successful mercantile system. But the difference was that America was so
along with every other colony.
No.
Yes, give me one colony that still supports their country.
England
entirely.
England.
England is the country.
I'm sorry, not England. Canada.
Canada is not with England, except with the Commonwealth, and that's not colonial.
The Falkland Islands.
From Argentina?
They're part of England still.
They're a colony.
How about ours?
Yeah, they're mm-hmm. a colony.
Yep.
What about our colonies?
The American colony?
Puerto Rico.
Mm-hmm. Bahamas.
Puerto Rico is a territory.
Guam.
It's not a colony.
All of our territories are colonies.
No, that you're mixing definitions again.
Okay,
you
all right.
You want me to get into semantics?
All right. Look. How do I put this? Right, well, first of all, there's no colony, or there's no area right now that hasn't been explored, so we wouldn't have colonies. Right now, we would have territories. It would
yeah,
be
so mercantilism is a dead philosophy.
All right. If you wage war on somebody and you win their land, a portion of their land, and you start a new city for your nation in that land, would it not be called a colony?
I don't think so.
That's what they call them. That's by definition another term, another definition for the word colony. Mainly because I watched Avatar. So I looked it up.
Well, Five Nation versus America, there are some differences there.
Such as?
It's Fire Nation is fictional.
Okay, well, yes, but...
But I'm just defending the Founding Fathers'
system of thought.
So you don't like the Enlightenment?
I don't like our Founding Fathers.
It's funny how we hold them up to a pedestal so much.
They've done so many...
Okay, when you say Founding Fathers, what do you mean?
Okay,
what do you mean?
The people we worship, such as... All right, Benjamin Franklin was a genius. He's very smart.
He was one of the Founding Fathers.
Yes, but not the people you're talking... Like, John Hancock, George Washington... trying to think of some Thomas Jefferson.
James Madison,
John Adams.
All of these were not. No, those are not people that I would support in the slightest.
Why?
One, most of them were, as I said, they just caused riots. They caused uproars for no, like, for the reasons they started them were for people that we would put down right now for trying to ruin of the America that we have. If we have this awesome America going on, and someone arises up and says. For instance, the person who said we're all going to die, or in a certain time, he caused a widespread media publicity against what we have going.
And they really had no merit to rebel because the whole thing was over taxation. Yeah. But they were paying less taxes than the British
themselves anyway.
Yeah. But here's the thing: you can't.
We were also offered military support by Britain.
Yeah,
but at the same time, people have the right to. To create their own national sovereignty if that's what they want.
But think
people have the right to independence.
All right, where's this right coming from? For every right, you
inherent
have to have
human right, I suppose.
Inherent human right.
In my eyes.
So that's what pretty much the Founding Fathers said.
What about
we have inherent human
then?
Rights?
They follow John Locke.
Do you think we're? Let me ask you a question. Are we animals?
Yes.
So all animals have these inherent rights.
No, that's false. Because you see, although we're categorized as animals. He said we need rights, not
human
all
beings.
Animal needs rights.
Yes.
We are an animal.
We're better than all other animals.
No, we're a class of animals.
So just our specific
species.
Class of animals species. Deserves
because,
our specific
because,
species
because we
gain these rights.
Because we commit speciesism. We want our own species to succeed.
Team
as,
people, bitch.
As compared
all
to
day.
Every other species. Why? Because
that
we
doesn't
are
mean
animals
that we
itself.
That doesn't automatically give us rights.
Yes, it doesn't give us rights, but we're
it gives us a right to define our rights.
Have you read Thomas Hobbes?
Yes.
In
is
an
that
effort
where you're getting
to
all this? You follow his belief because you either
species.
Follow Locke or Hobbes when it comes to this argument. Do you want the state to control you, or do you want to be free?
Exactly.
And you're saying there is no both.
That can be a part of both. I don't think.
Well,
see, Hobbes
in
that
argument, discussion of gray areas, but essentially, your foundation should be either black and white with those. You can get into gray areas because you can't believe two contradictory.
Let me ask you something. All right, are we free in America?
Define freedom.
There's your
classical
problem.
Liberals
but that's the thing,
would
if
say
you
that,
don't like the system we live in, it's not like you have a choice otherwise. You're forced in the system and you have no other option. So you should have the right, if you don't like the system, to create your own.
Okay, so you're telling me right now I deserve the right to ruin all of America's happiness being America by rising up, starting a rebellion, and getting people upset and on my cause against America, and revolting and ruining what we now have as America.
But how is it this ruining this America? It's because a small selected people want to create their own society.
Small selected?
I mean, it depends on the number of people who want to rebel, but...
What if I have millions? Merely because I'm a
Go
good speaker.
Go live in Cuba.
Said Hitler.
What if I was as good as Hitler?
But you always have to progress. If you don't, otherwise you have this stagnant society that no change comes in. This whole idea of America, even though, yes, the Founding Fathers were flawed.
Here's the thing.
That revolutionized politics when they created America, the whole American experiment. That would have never happened if they would have never rebelled.
American experiment?
Mm-hmm.
That's what America was. It was a political experiment.
All based off of things that have already happened in the past.
No other system of government
that had never
set
been put
up
into place
that
way. Exactly.
That
City
with.
Of London.
It was not founded
The City
on
of
that.
London had complete freedoms. It had a parliament, and it had a ruling body of a judicial system as well.
It was founded on that by the Romans?
By themselves.
When did they
start? After the Romans left.
That's a city.
Yes.
I'm talking about...
It was a
city-state. Country.
It's a city-state. It's
a
like city a polis.
It's not a country.
What's
it's
the
a
difference?
City-state. A state versus a city-state?
Yes.
Okay, it was the first time it was tried into a wide-scale society. Maybe not a city, but... an entire nation the size of
Here's a question. Do you think that America would not have been able to progress if the Founding Fathers had not ignited such a rebellion?
Yes. It wasn't even them that ignited it.
They didn't ignite it?
You had, like, Paul Revere and stuff who went out and started shouting and everything and tried to incite people, but Thomas Jefferson, he was just in his room.
That's fiction. Paul Revere didn't actually do that.
Well, who's the one who did?
There were three writers, yeah. And he never even made the journey.
It was, no, it wasn't one of the writers.
He started to be captured.
Samuel Adams and Patrick Henry were the ones who would go out and give speeches to incite people. Thomas Jefferson was in his room writing stuff. I mean, he was a writer.
He did the same thing. Yeah, he did the same thing. He still incited the same anger, but through writing.
He gave out
pamphlets.
There are different forms of propaganda.
Yeah, there are different
forms
of
propaganda. He's proffering his ideas.
And so was Hitler. He just convinced people to his ideas as well.
Just because so many people believed in Hitler doesn't make Hitler correct, right?
Yeah.
By him proffering his ideas,
people believing in him, that's what we have now. Because we believed in them.
So you say America's bad?
No, I'm saying America
right
now.
What do you say, bad? I mean, what? America's bad is good.
Well, that also.
I'm just wondering, bad. Why do you not like that America? I mean, if the end result was good, why do you not like that?
Is the end result good?
That's what I'm asking you.
No, I don't think.
Okay, then why did you just say that you don't believe America's good? I mean, bad.
Well, good or bad?
It's not bad. It's just not. There's yeah.
I'm trying to get you to define.
Are you talking about the system of government?
Yes.
What's wrong with it?
Oh my god! Wow. So many things.
Okay, relative to other governments, let's.
Yeah.
All right, filibustering in the Senate shouldn't happen. Yeah. We have no backbone for that.
There was a proposition by the Senate.
Okay, like I'm curious what the
a proposition by the Senate right. to demolish the filibuster, not by just 3/5 of the Senate. Firstly, you know, 60 members of the Senate had to. Sign against the filibuster for the filibuster to stop, right?
Mm-hmm.
The new rule says we just need a majority. So the filibustering is being checked.
Okay.
That's probably useless, but continue.
Filibuster, backbone, religion.
What do you mean backbone?
Yeah. We have no enforce. There's nothing to like for instance, I'll give you
the president can send the Marines anywhere at any time. Do you think the Marines
Let's
aren't
legally not do that?
Legally.
That is legal.
Yes, legally.
We have a lot of implied powers that aren't explicitly stated mm-hmm. in the Constitution. That
legally, yes, legally, he can send them wherever he wants to. It doesn't mean that he should or yeah. will.
Okay, compare this to
now in history, because when we're dealing with government, usually we take previous examples, or most things we take previous examples. So, going through history. Who have been the greatest people that have done the biggest change, and some would say the biggest good? People who are singular powers. Kings. Dictators. Communist governments. They have the power, the backbone of the country, to where they can move the country towards one ideal.
And let's look at the successes. Which dictators have been successful other than Cuba?
Alexander the Great.
He died. And
oh, he died! Dang! He's a failure!
You didn't let me finish.
I'm sorry, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Okay, he died and his empire broke up, so obviously it was requiring him to be.
Do you know why his empire broke up?
Because
he failed to write a will.
Yeah.
If he wrote a will, things would have been great.
Who says he would have written a will? Who says he wouldn't have changed later in his life? Because he was only 30.
Well, that's true, but why didn't he write a will? He didn't know he was going to die. So, if he knew he was going to die, would he have written a will? Probably. Maybe.
Well,
we don't know, so we can't say for sure. So, how about Hannibal? The Celtic Empire? Trying to think.
The Celts had no empire, first of all.
The Celts had a huge empire. Vast empire. It was bigger than the Roman
empire. It wasn't an empire.
The Celtics were huge. Yes, and they were all run by a similar form of government. Mongols?
Yeah.
All these empires you mentioned have dissolved, so obviously they aren't successful.
Are you telling me America's never going to dissolve?
I'm not saying that at all. Why are you bringing up all these questions not following my train of thought?
Because I'm saying
it's red herrings.
All governments will dissolve.
Eventually.
So saying that a government dissolved does not prove that it wasn't effective.
Empires always fall.
Well, then how is an empire effective? By the amount of area it covers, but it's going to dissolve anyway. By the amount of change it makes, the scientific changes it makes, what is
the amount of change it makes towards its goal, its set purpose, is my opinion.
So you're saying every capital, or every country or capital, in the sense, has an objective?
But by that definition...
Every country has an objective, yes.
Nazi Germany was one of the most successful empires of all time, because they put an objective down and they got it done. But morality, more... Ethics-wise, we can't really say that, because we think that's a terrible empire for what they did.
On which ethical basis?
I don't know, killing 11 million plus people?
That's if, according to your ethical basis, you think killing people's wrong.
On the ethical basis says killing people is not wrong?
No kidding.
His.
Whose?
Hitler's. He said that killing these people was not wrong.
Okay.
Tell him he's wrong. Disprove that.
But what would that do? We're talking about it
from an objective point of view. Here's what I'm saying. Is that I think that if an empire is or a governmental system is most successful when it pushes its ideal toward... When it has the most effect pushing its ideal towards what it thinks will achieve the... End up being a perfect society for that area.
North Korea.
Okay.
Believes that the world was created by its leader.
All right.
If its leader says he wants to conquer the world, to reclaim his world, what's to stop him from that? That would be, under your definition, an effective government? Is him conquering the world?
Yeah.
Effective doesn't necessarily mean good.
Well, or morally right. Efficiency.
What are you trying to argue?
Okay. What America cannot do is efficiently act. When we act, it takes too long.
Yeah.
We have to go through different processes. With a backbone, what I'm calling a backbone, I apologize, what I'm calling a backbone is someone who can act quickly and efficiently.
But I would rather have an ability to act than give powers to people that we necessarily don't want to give unlimited power to.
There is a conscientious...
I'm not saying you give it to one person.
Who do you give it to?
A council.
That's what the Senate is.
Yeah.
No, it's
so
not.
So you get into the
Senate.
Okay,
Senate,
here is...
And
so you're talking
house?
About an oligarchy.
Yes.
Okay, so let's look at an oligarchy. Oligarchies are notorious for dissolving into one, either a dictatorship or a democracy.
A tripart oligarchy.
One of them will kill the other two and gain power. It's...
That's also speculation. A tripart oligarchy.
Let's call one of those things to deal with law and call them
the
legislative.
Proven in the same way that anything I've said so far has been proven, and that you've also said a speculation. It's proven. Not really. It's never... just because it's happened in the past does not mean that it will happen again.
Has an oligarchy ever existed in history and worked?
Sparta.
Well, then the whole definition of work comes into play, and then...
But they had a king, though. It was
so let's go to Sparta now.
Wait.
And see what good has been done.
What is good?
Well, that's a different question.
Okay, they protected Greece.
When you say what good has been done, what is this good that which you're saying has not been done?
You don't like America because it can't achieve an impossible thing.
No, I don't like America because it cannot push its own ideals. It works off of a system of, there's a word for it, relativism. Everything's okay because it's your idea. So we're not going to enforce our idea on your idea. Well, in that case, then how... anyone can have any idea. And we can't say that our idea is right.
Here's my question. How does every country have an objective? What is America's objective?
Create a perfect society. A mutually beneficial society.
Create a perfect society.
Yes.
Don't you think that that objective is quixotical? Don't you think that it's impossible to create a perfect society?
Yes.
So if America is working on a failed objective, nothing it can do will get it to that, and hence that America will always be a failure regardless of whatever it does.
No, it's achieving...
Well, it will, because it
can never reach its objective. It's coming closer and closer, making its people happier and happier, becoming a more successful government. No, a government can never be successful, in my opinion. But they can be more or less successful. And if your people... The governments, good versus bad governments, are judged on how successful they were in making their people thrive in what they are. Scientifically, I mean, don't you measure a government, how good a government was, on based off the technological advances or on the social advances, such as freedoms, like you mentioned earlier, the economic advances, money, trade? All these things are making it closer to the perfect country.
America's goal. Who has defined this goal? Who said, okay, America's goal is to create a perfect society globally?
Any government's is, in my opinion.
That is any government's goal to...
Yes, this is my opinion, but I think that any goal, I think that any government is. I mean, for instance, why am I in this relationship with you right now? I discussed this earlier. Why am I in this relationship with you right now? Because I wish to benefit, so I'm in a relationship with you. Both parties wish to benefit from this relationship. And then when you have many people together in a relationship, what they seek to do is all benefit. So a government is simply that. It is a something that can take a society and move it towards the direction of mutual
beneficency.
Beneficency. What's the word?
Jesse, Google it.
Beneficence?
That's beneficence?
No.
Beneficence.
That's not a word.
Beneficence.
Whatever. I don't
like
so.
That's, again, my opinion. But otherwise, why would we have a government?
Think about it this way. If there are four people, right? And the three people can achieve happiness by beating the fourth person to a bloody pulp. Have we reached a perfect society when these three people, the majority, are happy and the fourth person is being beaten to a bloody pulp?
No.
No. But the three people are happy because of this, and the fourth person will inevitably be beaten to a bloody pulp. So
his unhappiness is sacrificed for the happiness of the majority.
So not everyone
can be
happy. So
is that closer to
because
a perfect
some, because
situation?
The happiness of people, individual happiness of every person is achieved not through sometimes conflicting goals.
So my question to you is then, if this is the argument, then are you saying that there is no way for a country to achieve a level of happiness good enough for its, let's say, a perfect happiness without having to have during the way crushed or beaten to a pulp some other person or
I don't
country.
Like people work that way.
So, if so, then that would kind of seem as if we achieved part of our happiness from the
beating people to bloody pulp.
The unhappiness of somebody else.
See,
which, I mean, that could be possible.
It's very possible.
See, I'm still a little befuddled by the idea of the happiness of a community, at least as big of a community as America, because throughout the history of America, there has never been a time when every person has been happy. Our president himself, he has an approval rating of, 60 to 70%? And people aren't even happy with the people who do stuff which represent America. No one in America
is... That's a different subject. People liking the president or not.
People
can't
all agree on happiness, on what makes them happy.
But, yeah.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yeah. No, but going way back to one question I had was when you were saying that you just were dissatisfied by America because of its inefficiency. Inefficiency? Yes, inefficiency, yes. But it was
deliberately.
It's deliberately set up to be inefficient.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So would you prefer you'd prefer an oligarchy, right?
Yes.
With three different a tripart oligarchy, right?
Mm-hmm.
So let's just say hypothetically, if a government like that existed,
how many people would you put in the oligarchy?
It depends on the size of the whole country, right?
Everyone asks me.
So it'd be percentage.
I have not thought of them. All right. Honestly, I think the three parts would be based off a judiciary, a judiciary, an executive, and a theological.
So you want kind of a theocracy, a theocratic oligarchy.
Mm-hmm.
What happens when there's no God?
I'm sorry, this
you
looks
can never
really
have
weird, but I'm bleeding, my mouth's bleeding now, I'm sorry.
That's bad.
Saw the hate you're spewing.
No, dude.
Would you say your theology is atheism?
Well, define, well...
Well, theology is just the study of God, it's not... Or... Yeah.
Technically, yeah, it's a study of God.
And that's like saying...
If you're going off the etymology of it.
What branch of Loch Ness Monster studies do you...
We're keeping that, right?
Yeah.
I'm not an A-ness.
Flying spaghetti monster.
Yeah, like your opinions on some fictional universe, you know. Are you of House Targaryen or whatever from Game of Thrones? Well, not... I mean, I don't believe in... I'm more naturalist. I don't like the term atheist because it describes what you don't believe in.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I don't like what Neil deGrasse Tyson said, when you adhere to a certain doctrine, you take upon yourself all the baggage and of that doctrine, and you don't want to be, you know, seen in prejudice if you claim some belief that everyone attributes everything that belief says to you. Like we've seen with libertarianism. So I can't just outright say I'm a libertarian because they're like, oh, you like everything Ayn Rand says. Well, no, I just, in American politics, I'm more libertarian, more centrist / libertarian. It depends on the country because you have different situations and you can't just say overall my political...
Ideals being pushed?
What?
Ideals being pushed?
Yeah, different ideologies.
If a country does not agree on an ideology, then how can it progress forward in an efficient manner?
But at the same time, you can't force any sort of theology on people, though. At least that's my mindset behind it. So
if you agree on an idea, as a government, if you agree on an idea, not all of your citizens are going to agree with you unless you go with some mass like genocide or ship them all to Russia or something.
Theology, yeah.
If you agree on one idea, you're not going to be able to make all of your citizens happy unless you just ship out the ones who don't agree with you.
But here's my question.
So it's contradictory. You can't make all of your citizens happy if you agree on one thing.
The Catholic Church in the Middle Ages.
Think about it. Why not?
It was oligarchical to an extent. You had the Pope, but you also had all the bishops of each region.
How many times did that work? How long did that last? Could you argue that it's still in existence?
Its power is diminished, its influence is diminished.
But it's still in existence. So by your previous definition, it has not failed.
It's been shrunken down. Well, you're arguing from the contrary. That's just because I said some definition. You can't say the opposite I don't agree with. But the Catholic Church, you're saying an oligarchy. So you're using the Catholic Church as an example of an idea you would have? Because that's a theocratic oligarchy to an extent.
Perhaps theocratic is the wrong word because all of you immediately jump to God and
seeing
religion.
As theos is God.
Yes. Okay.
Yeah.
But again, that's etymological, so you have to look at what he means. So I'm going to ask his definition before we argue any further.
Metaphysical. If your country, for instance, here's what I'd say. And yes, in response to yours, this is much more of a theoretical government, mainly because it'd be so hard to implement. Granted, I do think it's possible to implement. I think it's extremely difficult to implement, and don't have the brain power to do it. But in response to what you're saying, in governments we have now, such as in America, we have different religions and different races and different belief systems in general, and it's more specifically to what we were talking about, different metaphysical belief systems. And it causes insane amounts of internal tension. For instance, liberal side is now seen as a more secular side, whereas the conservative is seen much more as religious. So if I see a conservative viewpoint that I agree with, it's much harder for me to sit there and vote for that viewpoint because the person who's running on that viewpoint is an extreme Christian who's going to radicalize schools because they want to introduce theological studies or something like that.
Theology.
But if everyone in the country agrees on a certain metaphysical or is indoctrinated with the same metaphysical belief.
But this doesn't have to be absolutely true or objectively true.
No.
It just has to be agreed upon by the majority.
By everyone.
Everyone.
Congratulations.
Majority, everyone.
You made religion. You see, you can't have... You're saying that there doesn't... The fact that you have different opinions is what creates progress.
Exactly. It kills free thinking if everyone thinks the same thing.
The very reason that these conservatives and the very...
Wait, did you say it kills progress?
Yeah, if everyone has the same viewpoint, at a point we're going to stymie progress because progress is not created by everyone thinking the same thing. It's created by different people thinking different things, and their conflicting viewpoints, and then the, you know, the a catalyst into something which is, yeah,
what's thesis, the word? Antithesis,
thesis and synthesis. Antithesis make a synthesis, yeah, right?
I get what you're saying, but here about, how about this, okay?
So if they all, just to conclude, if everyone has the same metaphysical idea of life, they're going to be copies. They're going to be robots, to an extent. And that's going to really severely reduce new ideas, and that's going to severely reduce, to an extent, progress, because you said progress is defined by all these inventions and things, you know?
Okay. Up until World 1939 or 40, somewhere around there, what was the prevailing scientific thought as far as atoms?
Okay.
We did not have the nuclear thought. We didn't have, quantum physics. Mm-hmm. But with people working towards one end who believe the same thing, we experimented and found, we have flaws in what we're thinking.
What if your theocratic government said that studying quantum mechanics is sin, and you wouldn't allow that to happen, then we wouldn't have developed the technology.
How do you know, I don't think you'd know implement something like that.
If you didn't have people to think differently and aspire to different goals.
See, people collectively
two other things. Another thing. Just because a government has a theocratic principle does not mean that that can run unchecked. Once again, I said an oligarchy with a tripart system.
Okay.
You can't really say theological. The metaphysical, I guess, is what you would want me to call it. Is that what you want me to call it?
I guess so.
Okay. Whatever
you want. It's your invention.
Yeah. The metaphysical part of this government would be kept in check also by the other two.
But if everyone's on the same page, eventually, how do you have to check it?
Because it's still a selected group of people who are ruling everyone else. And it's just these people who are keeping these things in check, you know? People, and then you're saying there's room for people to not believe in this.
But if there's people who don't believe in this, they aren't going
to
be satisfied.
If everyone in the country believes in progress, and for mainly because it needs to be done in order for a country to be successful.
Because that's their objective, right?
Yes, and everyone in the country agrees on this. That is our metaphysical stance at the moment, not metaphysical. See, this is why I don't like calling it that.
In the sense, metaphysical means what?
Our common thought, I guess, purpose.
So, but you see, then
philosophical.
philosophy, common philosophy. Then,
so you want a group of philosophers to rule. Well,
is that
a
bad idea?
Oligarchical branch of your government.
In the branch of government that has to do with that.
So like
yes.
Plato's idea of a republic.
Yeah. In that branch. The other branch, for instance, the executive would be voted by a certain by area, like population, sort of like how we have our legislative now, but with the powers of a republic. You vote inside that little area, and stuff happens.
See,
it provides a backbone.
But here's the thing. It's been proven that when put in a position of power, you become corrupt. So if you have this select group of an oligarch, they're all going to be corrupt for their own interest, would they not?
But that's based on the postulation that man is inherently evil, which is
there's never been an unfruct.
If you go from
I'm
the Socratic principle
that
man is inherently evil.
That and like America as it stands now, you have people with their political philosophies.
It's more organized.
Their political philosophies are completely. We have such a partisan.
So you would want
government.
Everyone who has the same political philosophy to be making laws.
So we need to cut
America in half and move
the Republicans to one side
and
move
that's
the Democrats
gonna,
to the other side.
That's
going to
be hard for.
You just need one.
Yeah. And why that? Why not just have a dictator rule everything?
Isn't an
really
oligarchy the idea supposed to be a group of people who keep check on each other so you don't need checks on the oligarchy? Because it's supposed to work itself out.
Well, that would be the three parts.
Make so you don't need the oligarchy, you just need.
No, the three parts, like, the oligarchy itself is the three parts. One part council, one part group of philosophers,
so the whole government
and then another
the
part.
Okay,
yes.
I thought a separate branch was just the oligarchy.
Yeah. No, all the whole thing would be considered an oligarchy.
Okay, so it'd be like an oligarchy with groups.
Mm-hmm. Part dictatorship, democratic, and the other part.
But a dictator by...
Yeah, my definition is not
have to be checked.
Okay, I'm. All these are like. It's all. Yeah.
It's language.
That's what goes in my mind.
When you have two parties like we do in America.
Major parties.
Two major parties.
It can be argued that these parties can do nothing but grow farther away from each other.
Well, I mean, if you look at American history, the Republicans and Democrats have switched.
Now what are they doing?
No, well, if you argue the general consensus of a person, there are more people who believe in a mixture of the two governments than people who are on opposite ends. More people identify themselves as centrists than as pure Democrats or pure Republicans.
And when you're 18 and you go, oh, you're 18 already. When you go out to vote,
but almost 18.
When you're 18 and you go out to vote.
That's a trick question. I can't vote.
I was about to ask that, but I didn't want to sound racist.
Okay. No, I can't vote until I've been here in this country for 5 years.
We don't let your people vote here.
Okay.
When you guys are 18, you go out to vote.
You will be able to vote when you're 18 anyway.
When you vote for certain governmental positions, mm-hmm. do you not have to vote under one party?
Yeah.
It depends. So pretty much.
Exactly. Yeah. So if that's the case, then yes, both parties have things you agree on. But now you have to pick one. And they have things you disagree with. And the other one has things you disagree with. But now you have to pick
which
one.
Which is an idea I fundamentally disagree with.
Yeah.
But that's the problem that's the problem with the vote, right? Because that's the problem with the way we can vote for things, not...
I'm all for reformation.
No. There's alternative voting, and there's a more than one party system, and there's... not first past the post. We use first past the post. Instead of first past the post, let's use alternative voting. One, two, three. You vote three on the one you want, two on the one you don't. I'm sorry, three, two. Two, one. That kind of thing. Or 2-0, 1-0. No, what?
The system you just proposed.
Alternative voting?
Thank you.
Here. Go to YouTube if you ever get a...
Urban Dictionary.
If you ever get a... and type in CGP. Oh, you already have CGP.
Oh, CGP.
Go to his website. Yeah. Alternative voting. There it is, yeah.
I'll still have to see that video.
This sounds like a brilliant idea. I've never heard of it.
It's absolutely wonderful.
Queen Lion of the Animal Kingdom is displeased. She recently introduced elections for the office of king using the first-past-the-post voting system. While her realm started out as a healthy democracy with many parties running candidates for king, it quickly devolved into two-party rule, with the citizens not liking either one, but trapped within the system because of a problem called the spoiler effect. However, one of Queen Lion's subjects from a distant land, Wallaby, has a solution, the alternative vote. What's the difference? To find out, let's follow one voter on election day, Red Squirrel, under both systems. There are five candidates running for king, two members of the big parties, Gorilla and Leopard, and three other candidates, Turtle, Owl, and Tiger. Under First Past the Post, Red Squirrel gets a ballot where he picks just one candidate. Red Squirrel really likes Turtle, and even campaigned for him. However, he knows that his new neighbor, Gray Squirrel, is voting Gorilla. And what, starts to wonder Red Squirrel, about all the other animals? Who are they going to vote for? The debates on the Animal News Network only had the big parties, so Red Squirrel thinks it's going to be a close race between Gorilla and Leopard. While he's indifferent toward Gorilla, he's deathly afraid of Leopard. Because he can only pick a single candidate, he gives his one vote to Gorilla in hopes of preventing Leopard from becoming king. This is strategic voting, and it's a necessity under First Past the Post. But now let's look at the alternative vote, which Wallaby explains to Red Squirrel. Instead of picking one and only one candidate, he can rank them in order of his most favorite to his least. He goes into the voting booth and gets the same ballot as before, but now puts Turtle as his first choice, Owl as his second, and Gorilla as his third. He dislikes Leopard and Tiger equally, so he stops filling in his ballot and drops it in the box. At this point, Red Squirrel doesn't care exactly what happens. He has other things on his mind, and he heads off. But you, dear citizen, want to know how the votes are counted, so here goes. Turtle, beloved though he is with some of the citizenry, comes in last place with only 5%, and he is eliminated from the race. Because the voters rank their candidates in order, we can know what would have happened if Turtle didn't run. Without Turtle, voters like Red Squirrel would have picked Owl instead, so their votes are transferred to her, as though Turtle was never in the race at all. This is why the alternative vote is sometimes called instant runoff voting. It's able to simulate a bunch of elections where the least popular candidate is eliminated after each round, without all the time and expense it would take to run a bunch of campaigns one after another. The alternative vote method keeps eliminating the least popular candidate until someone either wins a majority or only one is left. As no one has a majority yet, the next lowest candidate, Tiger, is eliminated. Tiger voters listed Leopard as their second choice, so she gets Tiger's vote. In the last round, Gorilla is eliminated. Gorilla voters listed Owl as their second choice, so Owl gets those votes, wins a majority, and is crowned king. The alternative vote is a better system because it produces winners that a larger number of voters can agree on. While the alternative vote does have its flaws, it's important to note that any problem AV has, First Past the Post also shares. They're both susceptible to gerrymandering, they aren't proportional systems, they can't guarantee a Condorcet winner, which math geeks hate, but there isn't time to explain here, and over time they both trend towards two parties. That being said, alternative vote has a huge advantage that First Past the Post lacks and makes it mathematically superior. No spoiler effect. Imagine one final election. Two big candidates are running, Gorilla and Leopard, and Leopard looks set to win 55-45, but then a third party candidate, Tiger, enters. Tiger manages to convince 15% of the Leopard voters to back him instead. Under First Past the Post, Gorilla now wins, even though a majority of the voters didn't want him. Under the alternative vote, because all Tiger voters put Leopard as a second choice, Leopard still wins because a majority of the citizens of the Animal Kingdom would rather have her in charge than Gorilla. Using the alternative vote, citizens can help support and grow smaller parties that they agree with, without worrying that they'll put someone they don't like into office. After examining the differences between them, Queen Lion decrees that the alternative vote is to be the rule of the land for electing the king, and everyone is happier. Well, almost everyone. The two big parties can't be as complacent as they used to be, and need to campaign much harder to convince their voters to support them. This has been The Alternative Vote, explained by me, CGP Grey. Thank you very much for watching.
See, that concept is brilliant, but you'll never hear about it because you had the two powers that be that would, yeah, that would kill them. So
actually, they... I went to talk with our congresswoman and our senators.
Marsha Blackburn?
I talked to both Marsha Blackburn and Stephen Fincher. Yeah. Stephen was kind of upset with me, but Marsha, I thought that was kind of funny, actually, because Stephen's, isn't he liberal or something like that? I think he's liberal.
I don't know. I thought he grew up in, like, rural
Tennessee.
The farmers.
Farmers are generally more democratic just for the financial aspect, but I don't know about socially.
But anyway, Marsha said that if I could convince enough people that, like, I did this when I was there just because I had the opportunity. Mm-hmm. Like, I went to a leadership camp in D.C. where I was we simulated who would, a presidential candidate, a presidential, like, election and a, congressional, deciding over two bills and everything. And, I was president of all 300 and then, Congress, or I was minority leader at the time just because I got stuck with, Democratic Party. But, anyway, I got stuck with, or I was put into the minority leader spot, but afterwards, because I did all this, they let me meet our congresswomen and men and everything, and when I went and talked to them about this, they were like, wow, we've never heard of that. That sounds like good idea.
That's really depressing. Meanwhile, these are political science majors.
Yeah, that's really depressing. What? It frustrated me because it was like, I don't know. It's like one of those things where America's ideas cannot be truly expressed because we have to vote for one of the.
Now it all goes back to what you're talking about. Everybody has this idea of American politics, and because of that, extra ideas don't come in, such as this.
Yeah.
So you don't have a
too big to alternative fail, sort idea. Of. Thing, which I like your idea, Dan. It's well thought out, and I'm all for third party, you know, giving more.
Yeah.
You know, power to third and fourth party. More influence, I guess, would be better. But my original thing that I was disagreeing with you on was about the Founding Fathers. Why diss them for just stating their political views?
I guess it's much more fundamentally about how we put them on such a pedestal that I don't think they deserve.
Yeah.
Okay.
Also for the fact that their political view, that we hold them on this pedestal without the ever considering what they would be like now.
Well, few people even study the lives of these people. I mean, Thomas Jefferson, he was a slave owner. He spoke of freedom all the time.
Most of them did not have what I and Socrates agree on. No, I'm kidding. Most philosophers think of as integrity, which is you practice what you preach. That's philosophical Integrity.
Okay. Preach freedom if you have slaves.
Yeah.
And they had hypocrisy.
Yeah, yeah, it's hypocrisy there.
Well, yeah, I could see that.
Just pretty common.
And
those
they
politicians
had severe lack of philosophical integrity.
Yeah. But it was impressive that they were able to form a country.
I'm not saying that it wasn't impressive.
Yeah,
the fact
that
they could do that is very impressive, but I just don't agree with how they did it.
I had something else to bring up.
So it would be really easy to say all that without the like hour-long argument.
Move to Switzerland.
Yeah. So, with your idea of change, I take it you'd rather it be done in a more peaceful, political manner than rather like straight-out revolution. Or is that even possible to be done in our system?
I'm going to be completely honest with you here. I hadn't considered it, but I always think of different paths that it could take, and so far in looking at it, there's hard to do one without the other. For instance, if you go about doing a radical political change, then you're going to bring about a lot of disagreement among people who will eventually lead to violence in some sort of way, no matter what you do. I mean, even if it's for what we think of as good, it will bring about violence. I mean, think about all the, like, in countries, I don't know if you know this, like, a lot of people don't know this, and I didn't know this, and it frustrates the crap out of me that people don't know this and we don't have a say in it, but America goes to other countries, like countries in Africa, and we build schools, and in these schools, you might go to school for, like, 3 hours and then receive a meal. So it's sort of like buying the person's going to school instead of working on whatever farm they're going to. And when they go to this school system, and these are like in third world countries, when they go to this school system, they learn 1 hour, I remember 3 hours, so they learn 1 hour of everything in 2 hours of what's called civics class. And in civics class, they teach you our version of government. Are like everything with America's version of
it's
government.
Imperialism. You go into other places.
You
and
go to other countries. But then
darkness.
What we always say is that we really denounced communism for doing this exact same thing.
Yeah.
Same thing with the only difference between what we were doing right now, in my opinion, the only thing the difference between what we're doing right now and say the Crusades, what Hitler did, or something else, is that we're doing it non-violently. But our non-violent way of doing this here, when we're teaching all these people these things, is revolutionizing their government.
Yeah.
And when it revolutionizes their government,
it
does
cause
violence.
Al-Qaeda is just a response to the Western invasion.
It's so damn hot! Milk was a bad choice!
Alright, so that was the second episode of the Capricious Epidity Podcast. Hope you guys enjoyed it. And now we're going to end it off with a song by the Flowbots called Rise. Peace!
Don't know how to be but angry. Feel infected like we got gangrene. Please don't let anybody try to change me. Me, just me in the middle of a sea full of faces, full of faces. Some laugh, some salivate. What's in your alleyway? Recycling bins or bullet cases? It's not equal, it's not fair. We're different people, but we're not scared. We ain't never scared to pave a new path, make a new street, build a new bridge. Say, can you see by the dawn's early light? Free slaves running, songs, words weren't right. Now a new day's coming, the few stay stunning. While the many are handsome, your soul is alive, but they want it for ransom. The bass drumming is the anthem. We step to the heartbeats of our granddaughters and grandsons and rise. Together we rise, 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 together we rise. Found me grounded by your surroundings. Did the walls scream universities? Or you and I burst the T's? React automatic and we burst and squeeze and make 9/11 each emergency. Urgency and red, but you're red like the turning leaves. Oh, please let the hurting cease. Don't let apathy police the populace. We will march across those stereotypes that were marked for us. The answer's obvious. We switch the consonants and change the sword to words and lift continents.
Rise together, we 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 rise.
If you believe in redemption, I'm calling to you from another dimension.